Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right. Hi, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up, Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by
ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Great website. Check every day. Also, American Citizen Press. It's sort of the national.
They're kind of updating everything right now.
That's right. And Cenogenics with Dr. Julie McCallum. Chuck had a phone call with her this morning. That's right. So he's perfectly healthy. Like, he's going to all of a sudden go join a marathon. Going to do it. No, I'm kidding.
Join it, not run it.
Hey, a lot going on today. As always, we're going to have Representative Dave Williams come on at 3:30. Remember last time we had him on, he was talking about how they had pushed to try to have a hearing to hold an audit of the election system in Colorado. They did. You probably won't be shocked at the result, but we're going to talk to Dave about that. Casper Stockham, he's a guy who's actually doing something. He's formed a new organization, has a meeting coming up tonight that he wants to tell us about. But first, we're going to start off with our friend and colleague, Dr. Brian Jundep. Hey, Brian. Thanks.
Hey guys,
once again.
How are you?
We're good.
Good. You wrote another column. American thinker.
That's the story of my life. I wrote another column.
Well, you write it. Well, the trouble is, I read your columns and I always go, yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Which is not a problem, really.
Well, not a problem, but I usually don't have that. You know, usually go, oh, well, yeah, but I always think, wow, that was great.
But you started your column out and you had a picture of people shoving other people and dragging people off the cliff.
Paul Ryan throwing the...
Yeah, Paul Ryan.
That was the famous commercial.
Yes.
Paul Ryan pushing Granny off the cliff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we were talking a little bit of folks who are listening on Zoom. Sometimes you can hear us before the show. You know, we were saying, thank God, Liz Cheney, Bill Kristol, those guys all have a plan for us. But why don't you just give us sort of the gist of your column? And I think you're absolutely right. Essentially, and what we literally are kind of hanging off a cliff here.
This is the last hurrah for the Republican Party. That's my premise. If the Democrats are allowed to steal an election, a presidential election, they can steal any election they want in the future. That includes the two Senate seats in Georgia. Stacey Abrams, I'm sure, has suitcases full of ballots ready to be pulled out if needed. If the Dominion voting system tally says that the two Democrats are behind, she'll have her goons pull out 1, 2, 3, 4 suitcases, however many necessary, and lo and behold, the Democrats will win.
The nice thing about the ballots is they can keep, as they did in that thing, they just keep on running them through. You may only have, let's say, 50,000 ballots, but as long
that's
as
true. Good point.
Keep on running them through.
I give her too much credit for 4 suitcases. 1 suitcase may be more than enough.
And didn't she say she had like 1.2 million absentee ballots? Already, you know, I mean,
that's by the new voters. New.
Yeah.
Yes. She has an organization and they're busy filling out ballots as we speak.
Right.
And if those two win, then it's a 50-50 split in the Senate with our good friend Kamala Harris casting the tie-breaking vote. That means the full control of the federal government lies in the hands of the Democrats, the executive and legislative branch. And if they can rig elections, there's no need to have elections. The Democrats will always win enough seats to give them control, not to mention what they'll do.
Yeah, they'll create new seats to make sure that happens.
Well, let's talk about, you kind of in your column talk about that, some of the things that you think, which I agree with all of them. I mean, what are some of the things, if they win, what are some of the things you think they're going to do?
Sure, and it's not me just idly speculating. These are things that the Democrats themselves have said. Stacking the Supreme Court. In other words, changing the number of Supreme Court justices from current 9 to, say, 15, and putting maybe Lawrence Tribe, Loretta Lynch, Eric Holder, people like that, you know, fair and balanced far lefties.
Mrs. Obama, she'd be nice.
Yeah, Michelle Vigay.
Michelle, why not?
But
you don't even
Oprah.
Have to be an attorney to be on the Supreme Court.
Well, but she is. She's a very famous and accomplished attorney.
And we could put
John Podesta and Sid Blumenthal on while you're at it.
And Dr. Jill Biden.
Dr. Jill.
Dr. Jill. Well, Chuck, you're Dr. Chuck. You're a jurist.
I'm Dr. Chuck.
That's right. That's sexist of you. We're being sexist now for not calling her a doctor.
Elitist, sexist.
I mean, actually, let me just ask your opinion on that. As someone who actually is a doctor, I mean, do you?
Are you sure that about that? I mean, you aren't exactly a doctor.
You never know.
Well, and I think, and you're right. And what annoys me, and we can talk a little bit about this, is, you know, what do we do about it? And the
Nothing.
Republicans, I mean, you do have at least Rand Paul. You got Mitch McConnell saying, oh, I don't want anyone to complain about the election results.
No, because
I got elected after all. Yeah. But you have Rand Paul saying, no, there was absolutely fraud. It was absolutely stolen. And even now the Democrats are like saying, just shut up. No one's even trying to argue anymore that it wasn't stolen,
argue.
Except Twitter and YouTube.
They don't argue. They just do.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what they say. Ted Cruz had Jack Dorsey and Zuckerberg in front of his committee holding a hearing. He gave him a tongue lashing. He's a good debater. That's great. Once it was over, Dorsey went back to his treehouse with his long beard and, you know, was meditating and counting his billions and censoring people on Twitter. Nothing changed.
Right.
Zuckerberg is giving money to support electoral fraud.
Right.
These people, what happened other than Ted Cruz got some sound bites that made it onto Twitter and YouTube, but nothing changed. Social media is still censoring. What happened?
We it's very important that the American people have full faith in the security and fairness of their elections. And that is important. It was important in the Soviet Union too, that people had full faith.
And they would go to prison if they didn't have full faith.
No, they had to have full faith. They, you know, it's safe, secure. We don't want to underguard or damage the, our democracy, especially when it's disappearing. I mean, you gotta, good old democracy. That isn't a democracy. It's great.
No, it's government of the people, by the people, for the people. Now it's anything but. It's government by the deep state, for the deep state. And the Supreme Court's only one. The Senate can get rid of the filibuster. They can pass whatever they want on party line votes. What might they pass? Well, Medicare for all, Green New Deal, reinstate the Paris Climate Accords, reinstate the Iran deal, tear down the border wall, several hundred miles that have been built,
yes.
Trade deals with China. You know that's going to happen. Joe's in their back pocket.
Right.
So, well,
everything Trump did goes away.
Well, hopefully, because I think it's deserved, we can give a Medal of Freedom to Hunter Biden
for all these vicious
attacks.
He can be diamond with
at the Kennedy Center, and it'll just be great. They're going to have all the musicians there. They're going to have, who knows? But it'd be wonderful if he's recognized for the great man.
The good that he's done for female youth, too. Teenage girls,
Oh, yeah, sniffing their hair. Yeah.
Right. Well, here's one thing, too, I think, the Democrats, because I might be becoming even more conspiracy theory suspicious. So, they kind of like to make a big deal in places like Politico and The Hill, some of these various sites because I think they try to make it sound like they're being fair, talking about the gap in the Republican or the Democrat Party between the establishment and the AOC people. I think that's all a bunch of nonsense Let me finish. It's not going to matter because they're going to be like, we can do whatever, like you said, they're not going to have to worry about what the voters think anymore because the voters aren't going to get a say. If AOC wants a Green New Deal, she has a Green New Deal. They won't have to worry that, fracking is banned in Colorado and Colorado people might be upset.
Don't understand revolutions. There are Mensheviks and there are Bolsheviks. And the Bolsheviks, which is AOC and her group, they have every intention of taking over and crushing the Mensheviks. In the meantime, destroying all the kulaks, and we're the kulaks, of course. And they'll just have a wonderful time. Maybe Kamala can be the new Evita Peron, and she'll help the shirtless.
Joe is not going to have any say in anything.
No,
if Joe starts causing problems and is not far left enough, he will get sick. He'll have a stroke. He'll be 25th Amendmented out. He's a placeholder. He's their way of getting an unelectable, unknown senator from California in the White House. And I think this was Obama's doing. I think that was Obama's pick. And Joe is just the vehicle. He's like, when they launch the rocket into space. You have your first booster, and when it's out of fuel, it falls back into the ocean. And that's what Joe's going to do.
Well, but I think it's important to keep Joe in there. He's
at least until the inauguration.
Can I actually say something every once in a while?
Go.
Yeah, thank you.
I know you forgot. So I'll talk. You know, I'm kidding.
he is a human Potemkin village. He's just out there. It's just a face. It's a hologram, really. And then it's better off than having Kamala there, because Kamala kind of rubs people the wrong way. Joe's just up there. It's this holograph, this kind of visage, and everything can be done. And they can say, Joe, you're signing this executive order granting amnesty to 25 billion people and on Earth. I mean, it'll be wonderful. It'll be great. We'll have democracy and peace and justice.
They'll keep him as long as he's useful, because he's quite expendable, and he's only necessary to get past January 20th or whenever inauguration day is. And if those two indeed are inaugurated, then Joe becomes irrelevant. He's the first the booster of the rocket that can be let go anytime. And that's it.
And it becomes kind of like, I believe it'll become what we have in Colorado. So you have in Colorado, like I said before, and it's happened in the city of Denver. It no longer matters what voters think. It doesn't matter if voters don't want gun control. They're going to pass it anyway. It doesn't matter if voters want to keep Tabor. We keep passing, we keep saying that they'll change it anyway. But when they have such control over the actual system, the voting system, they don't have to care about voters anymore. They just, our friend Ted Trimpa used to put it this way. He said, what we determine is our win number, and then we go after them. What we didn't realize is we thought that they foolishly they tied that to voters. It's like, no.
It's
a number, and that's a number of ballots
that we need. You get whatever you need out of the Dominion voting machine. You get whatever you need by ballot or everything, but you get your win number.
Yeah.
And the only problem, of course, in presidential election is that they miscalculated the win number, and so they had to go water main breaks at 2 a.m.
And they had to stop. They thought they had it in the bag because they believed their own polls.
Right.
But I think Trump was winning by such a big margin that they had to call a timeout.
Yes. Right.
And it's like halftime at a football game. Halftime, the Broncos are up by 7, and you come out for the third quarter, and the Broncos are down by 7, and nobody says anything, and you say, how did that happen? And it's perfectly legitimate. We just miscalculated the score. And this is nothing to see.
Nothing to see.
And that's exactly what happened.
Well, and then the question becomes, first of all, I think you point out well in your column that it is not over yet. That Trump does, the mainstream media, I think, is doing this psyops operation on us it's over. I mean, they've been telling us that since before the election. And it's not actually over yet. There are avenues. I think the Supreme Court has made it clear they're not going to.
Martial law.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There's an avenue.
Well, all I mean is I'm not giantly hopeful.
Oh, really?
I think I know. I mean, I think this is the mass, the scale of this is almost unimaginable. But where do you see this going? Because I think you're right. It's Trump's party. And I think what Trump, if Trump doesn't win, and I don't know, maybe we don't want to talk about that yet, but where do we go from here?
Well, Trump knew this was coming. He's talked about electoral fraud for a long time. He's talked about China for a long time. He passed an executive order declaring a national emergency over foreign interference in elections. This was 2 years ago. And it doesn't mean he's going to send tanks into the streets, but he was aware of this, and he knew this was coming. There's a report by DNI Ratcliffe due by the 18th, which is rapidly approaching.
Yes.
And if there is widespread foreign interference, I don't know what happens. There's a lot of theories. This is uncharted territory. Are there indictments? Do people get arrested? I do not know. Does the military get involved? I don't know. We've not faced this before. So there's no precedent and no way to predict it. But Trump would not have gone through all this and endured 4 years of this and campaigned very hard only to have the election stolen from him and go away with a whimper. That's not his style. And anybody that's observed Trump carefully since he came on the political scene 6 years ago know that he's not going to go down without a fight, and he's usually prepared.
Right. Well, and, you know, his lawyers keep saying, you know, there are avenues we're pursuing. Members of Congress still have to act. I mean, there are constitutionally set up steps that we have to go through.
We don't have a constitution.
Well, all right, theoretically.
It's a constitutionally mandated steps. Like it says in the Constitution that I have a copy of, that suits between states shall be the sole original jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, which means it's mandated. They have to take the case.
Unless they don't feel like it.
And then they kind of go, no, must, no.
Must doesn't mean must.
No, yeah. Must means maybe. We want to.
Yeah. We'll do it on a Tuesday, but today's Thursday, so we say no.
So our hands are tied. Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk, too, about will Trump go to the inauguration? Again, first, I think we're not there yet. And secondly, this is my thing anymore. We should ask ourselves, what would Obama do? What would Eric Holder do, right? I mean, what would Rahm Emanuel do? What would those people do? And then do what they do. So if we think, would Obama go there? And would they gave her a fake President Melania? I mean, we just need to be, I think, anymore, I guess where I'm going with this, is acting more like Democrats.
Well, you have to understand, Joe has given the statement that people should participate through video and otherwise. He doesn't want anybody showing up because no one would. Right. And they like to show up for his rallies and everything else, six people by social distancing. And so Trump would be one of the few people that would actually be there. So that would be...
that's a good point. I mean, you're going to go around it that way.
Yeah,
they'll have the big circles in the parking lot of the White House.
And right.
People
right.
will be there.
Yeah. And they will have forgotten Trump's.
That's right.
What about in terms of, you know, so we don't get dragged over the cliff by the establishment? Because I think...
No, we've already been dragged over the cliff.
We're hanging.
No, we're not hanging on. We're in free fall.
And then
we're going to hit the ground with a big thump. We don't feel it yet, right? I mean, because, you know, it's weightless. But
where do you think? What happens here?
Well, you need Republicans on board. And they're a handful. But unfortunately, it's just a handful. The Electoral College votes do have to be certified by Congress, and that's one of the avenues, and there are various theories of how that might go. We'll have to see. There are a lot of things that can happen. There's plenty of time, and I think it's a big show, and I'm patient to let it play out. I don't know how it will end.
Well, that's
just knowing Trump and his style. If he was going to concede, he would have conceded already. If he thought it was fair and square and he lost, this would be over.
Right.
I can't say anything, but I'd be hopeful that he could declare martial law. I mean, you're going to lose the country anyway. You might as well.
Yeah, go down fighting.
Has Hillary Clinton conceded? I'm just curious. Or Stacey Abrams. I don't know.
No, they haven't conceded either. They haven't. Well,
you asked what Obama would do. Well, we know what Obama did. He organized a witch hunt based on phony information, and even the recent declassification of Brennan's notes say this was all for political purposes. The whole thing was concocted to damage a duly elected president and his administration. Some might call that sedition.
Yeah. Well,
if there were foreign influences, you could extend it to treason. And there are remedies for that in the law.
And I think what is helpful is, among other things, at least for 70 plus million people, I think
74 plus million people,
one of the many good things that Trump has done is, number one, nobody trusts the mainstream media anymore. They've been shown to be complete shills. The whole Hunter Biden thing exposed that. Yeah. The social media networks have been shown to be complete shills. Like you said, Zuckerberg threw money at local elections for Democrats. I mean, not the elections, not the way we would typically think of it. What he did was he threw money at the people who were running the elections in progressive cities. And so I think all of that has...
Did that help the people in Russia when the Bolsheviks took over? Hey, wait a minute. We're not actually getting free press. Oh, wait a minute. This election isn't fair.
Oh, my gosh.
They were all very much clued in.
It's not who votes. It's who counts the votes.
Yeah, exactly.
The
kind of early version of the Dominion voting system.
Yeah. As it turns out, Jenna Griswold, or that Arapaho County clerk and recorder, wasn't joking when she said vote early and often.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, we've got Barney on the line, so let's grab him. Hey, Barney, you're on with Chuck, Julie, and Brian Dundup.
Hey, Chuck and Julie, and The Good Doctor, how are you? Like all three of you guys. Hey, for The Good Doctor, when you have a liberal laying there in the chair, don't you just sometimes want to just poke their eye out? But when you look at look at how many you could, you know, I don't, I'm just kidding.
You're talking about maybing them. That's one way.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
Bad for I your practice, maybe, though.
He should probably
I have a handful of very outspoken liberal patients, and we have some spirited discussions when they come in for their injections or whatever. Nice. So and always then, fun. Fortunately, I have more on the conservative side that, I heard you on the radio or I read something. And those conversations are a little easier. But no, it's all in good fun. And
It goes to show you how dumb a liberal is. I mean, you're standing there with a red-hot poker, and he's arguing with you. That's a good one. But, you know, so all three of you guys are pretty smart. And I got to looking in my supplies, so I've got enough to put three sissy rifles together. I don't really care much for the AR-15, but we have some really sweet barrels in that. So I'm going to do that just before Christmas. But so one of these websites is talking about Trump is, everybody gets a 4-day weekend. Is it going to happen like the federal government goes home and then crap hits the fan?
What do you mean they go home? Do you think any of them are working in their offices in Washington?
Yeah,
probably.
Federal building.
We've been home since March.
Yeah. Yeah. They haven't, you know, they're not going to have to go home. They are home.
No, it is curious.
Well,
Trump declared Christmas Eve a national holiday, not in perpetuity, just this year. And it's also that's kind of interesting. If you look at Barr's so-called resignation letter, where he doesn't mention the word resign or resignation, which is another interesting aspect, he says he will be departing Washington, D.C. on December 23rd. Is he departing for the Virgin Islands? Is he departing for Vail?
Is he departing
right,
for
right
the
before that national holiday
sure
of Christmas Eve? I don't know what it means, but it's interesting.
Okay. Well,
do
I'll tell you what,
you
I'll
may.
Admit that it'd be a little scary, but God, I'm so...
Well, hey, Barney, you're cracking up, Barney.
We're all cracking up.
Love you guys.
I will see you later.
Talk to you later.
Yeah.
So let's go to that.
The dates are quite interesting. Barr leaves the day before Christmas Eve.
Right.
His resignation, and then the next day is a national holiday. Could things be happening? I don't know. There's a lot of speculation about that.
That'd be great. Well, I don't know.
I don't have any friends in military intelligence or people that know. I don't know. I'm just reading the message boards and seeing what other people think.
Yeah, well, I got to give Barr credit. I was really thought he was, a good guy. I couldn't decide if he was a good guy or a bad guy. And then he pulls this whole thing where the Durham report is coming in summer. No, it's coming in fall. No, it's coming. It's never coming. And then, but I've extended his term. Oh, that'll do it. But he's making great progress, we are told. He's making great progress, which is so very exciting. And, of course, he did his very best to make sure that the disinformation about Hunter Biden being a Russian is laptoping.
Chinese.
No, Russian disinformation.
Oh, okay.
It was Russian disinformation. He luckily kept every, squashed it down so nothing got out. I mean, it's just, he was just one more of a, I don't think in bad faith, but just being
a
swamp.
Yeah.
Just being thoroughly swamped.
You're correct on that. Two points on that. He did all those things, yet Trump gave him a very glowing farewell. He did not give a glowing farewell to Jeff Sessions. He did not give a glowing farewell to Esper. So that's a little bit curious. He didn't, good riddance. Look what he said about Mattis. Look what he said about Rex Tillerson.
Right.
He was singing Barr's praises and Barr was singing his praises. So it was kind of a bromance there as Barr is heading out the door, which is a little bit curious if Trump is that disappointed in him.
Which Trump had said a few days earlier, he'd said he was that disappointed in him, right?
And but then when he left, it was glowing.
Well, right. I think he may have learned after Comey that, What if you let him
go? Yeah, but I don't think Trump. Yeah,
it's interesting how he handled it. That's right. My only point. He didn't have the scolding words that he's had for other people as they departed.
And he does retweet when Lynn Wood, who kind of I wonder about sometimes, and I'm glad at least he's pursuing it. You know, when he's tweeting stuff like things are going to be happening in these next few days, and Trump retweets this, I think all along,
which has been a mantra for now 3.5 years.
Yeah, everything's happening. It's, you know, the storm.
It never happens, but
he's running out of time.
It's about to happen. It's about to happen. Big things will be happening tomorrow. You know, sure they will. Sure they will.
The other point is appointing Durham as special counsel. Everybody says, oh, that's good. Nobody can get rid of him. You want to bet on day one, Biden will fire him.
Yeah. Right.
The politically motivated witch hunt, the media will cheer him on. That'll be that. He will fire every U.S. attorney on day one. They all go bye-bye. The media will say, nothing wrong with that. Nothing to see here. It's the president's prerogative. It's only when a Republican does it that it's impeachable. But When Biden does it, no problem. Trump could tweet about Mueller and its obstruction of justice. Biden could fire the special counsel and everybody in the Justice Department. It'll be, you know, he's his own man. He's getting rid of all the corruption and the witch hunts and all that. And it's time to come together, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, unify.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to unify.
Jake Tapper and, you know, Rachel Maddow talking about that.
Well, and you're right. And the Hunter Biden thing, that's why they're not worried about that. That'll go away, you know.
All of this will go away.
Right.
Spygate, Obamagate, Hunter Biden, China, Uranium One, everything. It all goes bye-bye. It gets buried, and that's the end of it. And we had 4 years to get to the bottom of it, and nothing. We got Kevin Kleinsmith that's getting sentenced one of these days to what?
Well, he's asking.
He's
asking for no jail time. Just probation. And I'm sure it'll be granted. I mean, you know, he made a mistake. He made a little mistake.
Like, it won't be like General Flynn where they refused to let him drop it.
Not like General Flynn where he clearly engaged.
Kleinsmith will go before Judge Emmett Sullivan.
Eminent jurist.
Yeah, he's going to kick Trump out of Mar-a-Lago and award it to Kevin Kleinsmith, and he can spend 6 months of house detention at Mar-a-Lago.
Yes.
That'll be his punishment.
Oh, well, Brian, listen, we've got Dave Williams coming up here. We will be reading you because I think you've been all from the beginning of this, like, most recent saga. You've been saying Trump had a plan for this. We don't know what's going on. There's lots.
That's
of
the most helpful part. You know, I must admit, sometimes look, you're being too gloomy. And then I listen to Brian and kind of go, you God, it's even worse than I thought.
But you don't have to be totally gloomy yet. What are you working on? And once again, tell folks where they can.
I have a piece I'm working on. I wrote a draft already. It's about hydroxychloroquine and how the American Medical Association, shazam, October 30th, decided that, doctors can prescribe it.
Well, that's big of them.
They can use their judgment, even though it's off-label. They should make their own determination about risk versus benefit. Well, pharmacy should dispense it. Everything's fine. So they lied to us for 9 months, and how many lives were lost? How many people died because hydroxychloroquine was on par with rat poison?
Yes. Right.
Despite all the studies, despite everything else. And now, a couple days before the election, it gets released, and then it's only reported now in December.
Well, luckily, we can trust our institutions.
And nothing
more august than the American
government. People that are on health care for us.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, do I
actually get a word?
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, Brian, thanks so much. Take care.
Okay,
bye-bye.
All right, thank you, Dr. Brian Junedep there.
Nice seeing you guys.
All right. You know, on that note, this I thought was kind of interesting. In Grand County in Colorado, there was this shocking, alarming news that the COVID deaths had gone up 40%,
It
turns out, so actually there was like 5 deaths total, and 2 of them were actually a murder-suicide that they were
counting. That's COVID, but the COVID stressed them out, and so it resulted in the killings.
The coroner, the Grand County coroner tried to say, you know, wait a minute, no, that we have not had this spike in COVID-19 deaths.
People killed,
because they want to close down restaurants. I want to do all these lockdown things. They're like, no, two of them was a husband and wife, a murder suicide. COVID had nothing to do with it. And they acknowledged
you
the
can't
state.
Say
and the
that. It's a subjective judgment.
The state and the CDC said, hey, look, any death that occurs within 30 days of being tested positive for COVID, no matter how false the tests are, is counted as a COVID death. Again, I mean, it's just, we all know this.
You can trust them. You can, CDC, it's a government institution. You can trust them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now we've got on the line one of our heroes, Representative Dave Williams, who on Tuesday held a hearing on election fraud
yesterday.
In Colorado. Yeah, yesterday. And which got enormous praise by the Denver Post. No, it didn't. But it was.
And they're going to get to the bottom of things.
They're going to, because our trust in our system, we must feel
confident
in the fairness and the security of our voting. And we do now. You will. And if you don't, we're going to have a little adjustment for you. Dave, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Chuck, Julie.
So why don't you tell us, you guys had a brilliant move where you basically forced at least a hearing on whether there should be an audit. Why don't you tell folks how it went and what the vote was at the end of the day?
Right. Just as you guys are aware, this had never been done before. So we were doing what we could to prepare and make sure that we would put on a good hearing that was fair. And it was originally scheduled for 2 hours, and then we went to 4 hours, and eventually it went past 8 hours. And there were some things that we could have done better. There are some things that I think did go well. But at the end of the day, we had Jenna Ellis show up. She was our first witness, and she provided her testimony. And then we had various clerks and, of course, Scott Gessler, Wayne Williams show up, and they provided their testimony. I think Wayne and the clerks were very supportive of Dominion software. And then after we got past those individuals, then we got into a former colonel with the who works for the Department of Defense. He's done some testing and what have you with systems and vulnerability testing with Department of Defense equipment and cybersecurity related equipment. And he went on, and I thought that was one of the more important pieces of testimony that we had, was about how Dominion isn't secure, and that if anyone says it's secure, they really don't know what they're talking about. They're either ignorant.
Well, wait a minute. I didn't read that part in the Denver Post. All I read about was Williams and Gessler saying it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yeah, the gold standard.
Right. Well, the press only cared to listen to testimony or listen to evidence if it was only confined to 2 or 4 hours. They packed up, a certain point, and they didn't want to hear anything. And we also had other testimony from another gentleman where he brought up the fact that in Jefferson County there were about 3,000 questionable ballots that were cast from people who had moved out of the state. And this is absolutely verifiable by, looking at the National Change of Address database that's, publicly available to anyone when you compare it to ballots cast. Now, it doesn't follow that all of those people broke the law, because you do have situations where people have two homes and their residency could be different elsewhere than here or vice versa. But that's something that we should be looking into, and that information was given to the press. And then, within that report, there was an individual, as an example, there were multiple examples, but there was an individual who appeared to have voted twice and bragged on social media that he voted twice. And you had individuals who were deceased who cast their ballots.
Were they deceased before they cast their ballots, or were they?
Yep, there were obituaries, and then after the fact, they had ballots from their registration go in and be counted. So these are things that need to be looked at, and I think that's enough evidence to proceed with an investigation. So at the end of the day, the Republicans on the committee did push for a performance audit and a financial audit of the Secretary of State's office And that was voted down a party line. So you had four Republicans vote for it, four Democrats vote against it. And the whole time the Democrats were pretty belligerent, especially to Jenna Ellis, the president's lawyer. And they were, you know, very, they weren't tolerant of the proceedings. I'll just say that. And they made that known. And so their arguments were that, you know, we don't want to look into this because we think we have a gold standard here and we don't want to create a
fishing. Yeah, that's right.
We would hate to find something that disputes.
Yeah, we got the gold standard. All they have to do is repeat that phrase, and it's sufficient, notwithstanding massive fraud. And I can't tell you how many Republicans that I know absolutely believe that.
All of them.
The party of evil and the party of stupid. And the head of the Colorado Republican Party is the party of stupid, saying that, you know, we're wonderful election system, just wonderful. Did you get into the removing of poll workers from Adams County and other things?
We really didn't get to go into a lot of that stuff, and mainly because a lot of questions were asked of Wayne Williams and the clerks specifically, and I don't want to say they were filibustering, but they were giving very.
Well, that's what Ben wrote about 2 minutes ago. It's in my understanding is that Wayne Williams filibustered for about an hour and a half.
Well,
I have to be fair to Wayne. It wasn't totally his fault. You had a number of committee members there asking Wayne questions, and so it gave opportunity for him to answer more often than not.
Let me ask you this.
But yeah. Go ahead.
It seems to me, though, when you've got Wayne Williams there, so the whole question, really, all you guys were saying was, we think we should do an audit to see if it really is a gold standard or not, which is, why not? That seems to me, if you have a business, they do an audit. And what you do is, if you have somebody who is suspected of being a crook in your business, and you ask him, hey, should we do an audit? And that person says, no. And you go, okay, he says we don't need it. I mean, no offense to Wayne Williams and Scott Gessler, but they're the former secretaries of state. A lot of questions about the Dominion voting system and connections to them. And so what are they going to say, right? They're not going to say, oh, no, we had a completely rotten system. No, they're going to say, we absolutely don't need to verify. But why should we even listen to them?
Well, when Scott gave his testimony, he really didn't even address the Dominion issue. I think in passing, he felt that it was, what we're doing in Colorado is better compared to other states, but he focused on signature verification and some other things that surrounding ballot harvesting. And he, to Scott's credit, said, you know, yeah, you should perform an audit of the Secretary of State's office. And he went after her a little bit and said she hasn't been transparent with her dealings. Wayne, he was asked the same question, didn't really answer either way. And, I asked him a question about Dominion specifically about the, and this, forgive me if this gets a little wonky, but the best way I can dumb it down for everyone is that they have source code within their software that is closed, meaning it's proprietary. And the only way that anyone could ever look at it is either through a court subpoena or through by permission from the company. And to my knowledge, that's not happened with anyone. So no state, no government entity, at least in Colorado, has actually looked at the software source code, which dictates everything. And so my question to Wayne was, well, how can we have any confidence in any of this if we can't even look under the hood and take and examine the engine? And Wayne didn't really answer that. He did say that they developed other mechanisms through open source coding with audits that they've created to verify that this is good and their standard, federal standard verifications. But at the end of the day, we can't look at that private company's proprietary intellectual property. And so we can never know. I mean, that was my point in all this. We can never know unless we get to look at it.
Right.
You know, it's amazing anybody put a system in their state when this guy says, no, you can't look at that. That's proprietary.
Well, then we had the questions come up in Michigan, where they found a 68% error rate, which allowed them to, I mean, there's so many questions. To me, it's a dereliction of duty on the Democrats' part to say, no, we don't even want to look into it.
They don't have any duties.
Well, I know. The other thing I want to point out.
Keep in mind that this isn't just, you know, Democrats. I mean, they're, you know, I maybe at a later date I'll name names, but I'll tell you right now, there was considerable amount of pushback from the Republicans, establishment Republican types, that didn't even want to have this hearing. you know, that there were individuals who, you know, kind of just want to move on, and they want to, you know, very much.
Well, since that's
we have the gold standard.
Since that's how they think, why wouldn't it be fair to divulge who they are? Since that's what they're
well, like I said, maybe at a later time here. You know, I'm getting to the point where I think, like many of your listeners and many of the people who are contacting me, I'm kind of wondering, you know, when's the Republican Party as an organization going to actually do something here? I mean, at the end of the day, if in fact, you know, elections are being stolen, then you can kiss the Republican Party goodbye anyway. I mean,
you can kiss it. I mean, when Ken Buck got elected, that was a stolen election.
As a state party chair.
State party chair. It's absolutely corrupt. Mark Beasley and others just passed it over. They were taking proxies.
I always think it's funny when we argue about ballot harvesting, but then when we look at our own party elections, we have no problem with proxies being delivered in mass.
Exactly, and over the phone and any other way you want, by a telephone call. Yeah, I gave mine to Bob.
Who is
it? None of the rules apply for state party elections.
Even if it's
finish this. So when Ken Buck, and I'm sure he was not part of it, I'm sure the, you know, the interior people who were told they were going to be fired if somebody else got elected, you know, didn't happily tell him how they crooked it for him.
Right.
But he didn't look at it and he didn't care. And so, you know, if that's what's amazing. The establishment Republicans are every bit as dirty as the Democrats. They lie, they cheat, they steal. No, most of them. Wayne Williams. I mean, he all you have to do is to talk to Matt Arnold about some of the things he did, Wayne Williams did when he was Secretary of State. It's just amazing. And so it's so tough. Anyway, it's so great to have people like yourself and Lori Sane and Patrick and everything else. Fighting the best you can, because this is a great hearing to have. It won't change anything, but at least it brought... It stopped the endless drumbeat from Republicans that
there was no fraud, no question. Well, and again, we shouldn't even be asking questions. That's a thing that kills.
Because then people might think that their elections are crooked. Unbelievable.
Right. I mean, the Democrats did engage in a little bit of intimidation, subtle intimidation. I mean, they had witnesses up there that basically said, if we even ask, you know, for audits, or if we even question the election, that we're somehow engaging in voter suppression.
Well, of course, everything's voter suppression. Yeah.
And racism. Right. I'm sure you're racist.
Well,
too.
How about sexism? Yeah. Was it homophobic? It probably was homophobic because the governor's gay and you're questioning his election maybe. So it's everything.
Well, let me address the intimidation, because you're absolutely right there. And some of it's not so subtle. So Jenna Ellis has been around forever, right? She used to be on KNUS all the time. So all of a sudden, out of the blue, the day before the hearing, the Colorado Sun does just a hit piece on Jenna Ellis it's like, what? It's like, well, we just discovered. Now, you know that was planned. Well, the Colorado Sun never heard.
Well, I know it's right. Because Neil Mathai said he got a call from the reporter, and the reporter said, well, you know, did you have Jenna Ellis appear for you on that thing? He said, yeah, I did. She said, did she really appear? And he said, look, I don't need to talk to you anymore.
They attacked her. And look what happened the last time. Remember when Channel 4 did the story raising some questions about the cards that Jenna Griswold was showing up? And the Twitter trolls and the Democrats and the pressure, they made Channel 4, which was a legitimate story, take that off their website and back off it. So you're absolutely right, Dave. The intimidation is I wouldn't even call it subtle. I mean, it's right out there.
Voter suppression. I love it. Do people laugh when they say that? Probably not. They're terrified. But congratulations.
Go ahead. This is just the first step. I mean, there's a number of us who are elected, who do want to do something. But I got to tell you, I'm disappointed. I mean, I'm not just talking about Colorado. I'm talking about nationwide. There is a very large contingent of the Republican Party, especially electeds, who kind of just want to stick their head in the sand, and they don't want to go out there and actually fight for election integrity. It's hard for me to look at everything that I'm seeing across the country and say, you know what, something fishy didn't happen. It's just not possible. There are, I don't know how anyone could look at this and say that the president lost in a fair, straight-up fight, because I don't believe that happened in any stretch of the imagination. And it's come high time that Republicans, elected Republicans, get up and be counted, stand up and be counted and fight for our country, because it's not about President Trump.
When,
this is about
when have the Republicans stood up for this country?
Well, some do, some do.
No, some do. Some have always stood up for the country, and there's some great people, but it's always been this Vichy French surrender squad. You know, it really, if you're going to go back far enough, when they decided, okay, do we want to have Eisenhower, who is sort of a Democrat, or Taft, who's actually, oh no, we want Eisenhower, because he won't do anything about the New Deal. The New Deal stays. A welfare state stays. And so that has been the Republican Party for, you know.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah. Well, Dave, thank you.
Thanks so much. And good job. Great job doing it. Keep us abreast of what else you're up to. Because it's great finally, because I've been screaming about this now for, I don't know, or since the 2018 election. Kind of just howling in the wind, and it's good to have somebody else kind of come up and say, yeah, there are some questions, to tell you the truth, both locally and nationally.
And David, whatever support we can give you, thank you.
Yeah, you're great.
You bet. I'll certainly keep you guys appraised of what we're doing, and just like the next step, let's go find some good standard bearers who will actually fight, you know, for our values, and let's go ahead and get them elected to the extent we can.
Yeah. All right. Sir, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Representative Dave Williams. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Now we're going to zoop to our good friend Casper Stockham, who is, Casper, and one of the reasons I always like to have you on when you say, hey, I've got a thing coming up, can I promote it, is because you're one of the persons who's actually doing something. People look around, they say, what can we do? What should we do? You don't hold another committee meeting. You don't write you just do it. So once again, everybody, welcome Casper Stockham. You've got some stuff coming up. Why don't you tell us about, we talked to you last Monday about your group, about this new organization, but why don't you tell us about it again and what you have coming on?
Absolutely. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, fantastic. So what Dave is talking about is exactly what we are going to do. We are going to find viable, conservative, Christian, hopefully, candidates to run for office and win. And most of these are going to come from grassroots areas, because the establishment has kind of been ignoring those folks for a long time. And I talked about this many times on your show. Tonight, we're going to have an open house for America First Republicans. I just call it AFR. We're having an open house. Now, that event is sold out, so there's no room to attend that event. However, we are going to be live streaming that event, or at least half of the event is going to be live streamed when I do the presentation talking about the organization. So the best way to view that is to go to America First Republicans' Facebook page. And the link will be there for the live stream. Starts at 7 p.m. tonight. We'll be live streaming, and it's just going to be a great night of fun, food, and fellowship. I've got some special guest speakers that are going to be presenting tonight as well with me. So that happens tonight at 7 o'clock.
How many people are you sold out? How many people is it?
So the space is small. So we have 40 people that'll be in attendance.
Great.
Well, and you know, this is good news for you, and you can tell people this too, and then we'll get back into this and talk about your organization. So I had somebody send me an email that they wanted to give you money, so which is good. And where can people go to find out more information? If they want to give you money, I'm sure you're happy to take it. And what are you going to do with that money?
Absolutely. So we are a 501c4s, and we definitely need donations for this to work. We have to raise a lot of money, but the money is going to go towards helping candidates. Like I just mentioned, we're going to be training those candidates, and we're going to be supporting them. One of the biggest differences between what we're doing and what other organizations in the past have done is they offer great training. Like LPR offers fantastic training. Independence Institute offers fantastic training. But a lot of those organizations don't come alongside candidates and support them during their campaign. That's what we are going to be doing. We'll be side by side. It's very similar, actually, to what the Democrats do all the time through organizations like Emerge.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, So we're going to be doing that. We're going to be targeting specific races and finding candidates to run in those races and be competitive and win. And by the way, this is not a third party, so we're going to be getting those candidates registered as Republicans and running in those races.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about Emerge, because if people aren't familiar, so Emerge, it's a Democrat, I mean, it's a George Soros-funded thing, bottom line, when you get right down to it. And what it does is it finds women, female candidates, and for the most part, it trains them, and it starts them out small, like at a city council level or a school board level. And but if you look at half of the Republican or the Democrat female legislators, I don't know about half, but a significant number of the legislators we have there right now are from the Emerge program. They move them up the ranks. And like you said, they give them support. They give them the
volunteers. They give them money.
And then once
they get into office, they funnel money back indirectly to these organizations. I mean, it's a great circular stream. And the Republicans have nothing equivalent to it.
Well, now we do. And we do need help and support. So they can go to America First Republicans with an S. .us, AmericaFirstRepublicans.us. We have a donation link there. They can join for $5, or they can join for $17.76 one time, or they can do $17.76 a month, which would be fantastic, because we really need an ongoing amount of revenue to do the training and support that we are that we plan to offer these folks.
Well, and I think nobody better than you to give the training. I mean, you're someone who's been a candidate several times, and it's not fair to say you didn't win, because half the times you were in Denver where you weren't going to win anyway. You were just doing it. But I mean, you know what it's like to go through the race. You know.
Well, you also can tell them that there'll be Republicans, establishment Republicans, not Democrats, establishment Republicans that'll try to destroy them.
Exactly. But in those races, even though I lost, I'm having a Joe Biden moment right now. I need some water. Even though I lost, I currently hold the record for the most votes in Denver and also now in City 7 for Republicans. Even the ones who have won, I've received more votes than those Republicans in the past. So, it's something we have to be able to reach out to non-Republican individuals and show them why they should be voting for us. So the unaffiliated voters, Hispanic voters, the black voter, Asian voter, all those different groups. The Republicans don't like to quote unquote identity politic those groups. But guess what? If you don't address them like Trump did, by the way, if you don't address them in that way and bring them into the fold, you're not going to get their vote. And that's exactly what we're going
to do. I hate to tell you, but you're going to also have to figure out how to adopt some Democratic tactics, because if we're
adopting a lot of Democrat tactics, but there's a way to do it the right way.
They don't do it the right way. They sleep just fine. They sleep in their beds and in the offices and the city halls and the county commissioner things.
I answer to a higher being, and I want to make sure that I don't overstep my bounds. So we're going to do it the right way. We're going to use two tools, guys, that the Republican Party doesn't use right now. And that's the Constitution, for one, and the Republican Party platform. Those two tools will be what we use to reach into the
community. Try ballot harvesting and a few other things.
So, Casper, 7 o'clock tonight, if people want to watch, they can go to the America First Republicans Facebook page, and you'll be live streaming on that. All right.
Yep. Well, it's great to see you, Casper. Good luck with it.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate you, too. Casper Stockham there. And to the folks, if anybody's listening, I did get some emails saying, hey, how can we donate to him? It's AmericaFirstRepublicans.us. And go to their Facebook page to watch that event. I like, because he's not just talking, right? He's actually doing something. And thank God for Dave Williams. Once again, they're doing something. To me, back to that, just because we had a few more minutes here, I don't understand why. It's astonishing to me that we have a system that there is an election system. It's so important. And there's like zero auditing of it. They don't go back. And even Scott Gessler said, we should go back and at least see, hey, is the signature that we just verified, is that really their signature?
Is this person dead or not?
Well, I understand
there's
that.
There's good reason for that. And the idea, which is, I understand Democrats. I've lived in Democratic cities. I've lived in Democratic cities my whole life. I understand Democrats, and I understand why they're doing it and where they're doing it. I don't like it a lot of times, but I understand it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what establishment Republicans think that they want to shut Dave Williams down. They want everybody to think that this crooked system we have.
But because
have,
the swamp works for them. That's the thing.
It doesn't work for them.
Well, it's not going to keep working for them, but it works for them.
It doesn't
the
work for them. And the idea the governor calls a phony special session after he's just been giving away the money willy-nilly any way he wanted to. And literally, large portions of the Republicans sign on to whatever the governor wants to do. And if they're throwing them a crumb, just the smallest of crumbs, and then they're all thrilled with it. And
we all need to channel our inner Democrats.
I just don't understand, you know, why they are so.
Well,
self-defeating and cowardice. I mean, they're so revolting. And it's not because they're nice people, because these same establishment Republicans will go after Anil Mathai. They'll go after anybody who's a grassroots in the most vicious and amoral ways. I mean, criminal charges.
They did it
to Ken Buck. They started bringing criminal charges against him.
Yeah.
But against Democrats, they absolutely cower. They absolutely cower.
Hey, that's going to, we got to wrap it up here. That's going to do
it. No, we want to stay on longer. Okay, everybody.
Take care. Wait, don't say that. I got to tell people where to go here.
Oh, okay.
So you can go. We'd love to have you like us and subscribe to us on YouTube, but we're also on Rumble now. If you go to chuckandjulie.com, we're up on Podbean. So we're on iHeart, Alexa, you name it. We're on there. Spotify, you can find us there. Just go to chuckandjulie.com. All of the various links are there. That's one place, too. You can always catch our podcast. We've got a cool new feature there too. If you're even there on your phone, you can go to chuckandjulie.com, listen live, and if you want to call in, you just hit
the button.
It's amazing.
Automatically brought to our California based producer.
That's right. I want to thank Brian June Depp. I want to thank Dave Williams, Casper Stockham. As always, thank you to the great guys there at BBS.
And we should have a great show on
Party Friday.
Party Friday.
See you. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks, everybody on Zoom.